Covenant Evangelical Reformed Church in Singapore, A Painful History, by Professor Russell Dykstra. This year, Covenant Evangelical Reformed Church, or the CERC, commemorated 25 years as a congregation. It has not been an easy 25 years. One of the charter members of Covenant and an elder from the start, Elder Leong Phai Chong, or John, summarized it well in a 25th anniversary booklet he wrote. We read, "In fact, that she is what she is today and what she could celebrate. Her 25th anniversary is a miracle indeed. Yes, it is a miracle because for a little flock to go through crisis, turmoil, pains, controversies, and changes, and yet be preserved is beyond one's comprehension. For one who began this journey 25 years ago and has seen all the steps of her sojourn, I have only these words to say. It is all by His sovereign grace." End of reading. The official history of Covenant begins with its organization as a daughter congregation of the original Institute, the Evangelical Reformed Church, organized in 1982. A church was born and quickly a denomination was formed, the Evangelical Reformed Churches of Singapore. It was a day of rejoicing there and here in the PRC. God had blessed the tireless work of many men and women, and especially the preaching of missionary pastor Ari Din Hartog and pastor Lau Chin Kui, the minister in 1st ERCS. Two Reformed congregations existed in a predominantly pagan land where the Reformed faith was virtually unknown but 10 to 15 years before. My personal connection with Singapore began with my seminary training. I attended the Protestant Reformed Seminary with two Singaporeans whom I came to know and love as brothers in Christ. Graduating from seminary in 1986, I accepted the call from Dune PRC, the calling church for missionary Din Hartog, and automatically became a member of the Foreign Mission Committee. Since my Singaporean classmate would become the pastor of the new congregation, I was keenly interested in the organization of Covenant ERCS. The PRC and the ERCS had previously established a sister church relation, and the PRC rejoiced in God's evident blessing on our sister church in faraway Singapore. Not long thereafter, Pastor Din Hartog returned to the U.S. to take a pastorate in a congregation in the PRC. Our family had the privilege of hosting his family when they stopped in Dune. What a delightful time we had discussing and rejoicing in God's work of gathering His church from the nations, in particular, in Singapore. A few years later, Professor Hanko and I were sent, in December 1990, as a delegation to visit the ERCS. We preached in both churches 4 Sundays and held meetings with the sessions. It was my first visit to Singapore. From many points of view, it was a delightful visit. The scenery was lovely. The Christian hospitality was outstanding. I came to know many of the saints in First and Covenant personally and experienced richly the bond of Christian love. And yet, there was a negative side. At some of the meetings, tension surfaced concerning practices that the Reformed Church had maintained for centuries, such as psalm singing, Heidelberg Catechism preaching, and 2 worship services every Lord's Day. In addition, the members and leaders in ERCS were not united on whether they ought to take positions on such doctrines as common grace, the well-meant offer, and the covenant, and there was the unsettling influence of the liberated. Looking back today at that history, I can understand why the ERCS was not of one mind. Some were committed to standing four square with the PRC on doctrine, worship, and church government. Others wanted to be reformed in a general way and simply ignore issues like common grace, the well-meant offer, and divorce and remarriage. They understood that taking positions akin to those of the PRC would separate them from most, if not all, other churches in the Reformed camp. To understand this diverse thinking within the ERCS, recall that the ERCS was not really the fruit of Protestant Reformed mission work. The group had organized as the ERCS in 1982 had its roots in Bible studies in the early 1960s. God led these young converts through conflict and division to the doctrines of grace until they reached the point where they requested help from the PRC. first emissaries, and in 1979, a missionary. Pastor Den Hartog arrived in February of 1980. 1 month later, the GLTS, or Gospel Letters and Tracts Society, drafted a letter to the PRC asking that Pastor Den Hartog be authorized to organize them as a church. In 1981, they pointed out, "We, the GLTS, have been in existence for 18 years, and it was only less than 3 years ago when we came into contact with the Protestant Reformed churches in America." They had received 3 years of intermittent instruction from emissaries and 1 month from the missionary when they requested organization. The PRC agreed to grant the request, provided that the new congregation be organized on the basis of the Reformed Confessions, Heidelberg Catechism, Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dordrecht, and that the newly elected office bearers be able to sign the formula of subscription. Highly significant it is that the GLTS was not ready to organize with those provisos, nor did they believe it necessary. Confer their protest in the Acts of Synod 1981 and 1982. Nonetheless, the PRC insisted, and the saints of the GLTS acquiesced. Organization occurred after the study of the confessions was complete in 1982. 5 years later, Covenant was formed, and the same tensions were found there at times. That contributed to some of the difficulties in her history. Covenant ERCS has endured trials that few churches face in their first 25 years of existence. They have lost three pastors in their short history. The first was released through what was essentially Article 11 of the church order. They had not yet adopted a church order. The second pastor was taken suddenly and unexpectedly by death. And the third was released from the ministry following the church order, Article 12. Each event took its toll on the congregation in its own way. Some of the original members have left over various issues connected with the release of ministers. Those losses are painful and can be discouraging. Covenant also struggled many years to find a place to worship. For a couple of years, the congregation rented a school auditorium until the government granted them the right to use a building that was a combination home and shop. After about 10 years, they lost the government's permission to use that place for worship. They were forced to rent once again, 5 different places over the space of 10 years. They looked long and hard, but they could not find any government-approved location for worship that they could afford to purchase. Eventually, they purchased the 4th floor of a warehouse factory. They renovated it completely and made a very suitable place for worship, complete with classrooms, a study, a library, a kitchen, and a large eating area for the entire congregation. In January of 2010, they began worshiping in their new home. Nothing in Covenant's history compares with the trauma of the conflict in the churches that resulted in the demise of the denomination. The relationship between First and Covenant would fracture on the issue of divorce and remarriage. After years of study, a committee of the ERCS submitted a position paper that advocated remarriage of divorced persons in limited cases. First ERCS adopted the report. This would lead to the dismantling of the ERCS and the destruction of the sister relationship with the PRC. Covenant ERCS refused to adopt that report. Painful as it was, Covenant knew that she could not exist in a denomination with First. The denomination was dissolved. The aftermath was traumatic. Over half of Covenant ERC's members departed. Some went to First, some simply left. But God preserves His church. Out of First came many members, some of them office bearers, who disagreed with their session and had the courage of conviction to join Covenant. That included Pastor Lau. Then began the delicate task of rebuilding CERC and of uniting the two groups into one congregation. God is good. He gave wisdom and courage to the office bearers. God preserved CERC. With the many from First and subsequent growth through evangelism, CERC has currently over 140 members. Just last month, through the hard work and personal evangelism of the CERC, 7 people joined the church. We pray that this continues. CERC's commemorative booklet reflects on this history in a section headed Growing in Appreciation for the Truth, where we read this. through the DNR controversy has come to a close, we must not forget the lessons the Lord has taught us through it. Through the controversy and the dissolution of the denomination, the Lord used such seemingly evil circumstances to preserve His truth in the CERC and awaken in us a deeper appreciation for the precious truth of His covenant. Our young people, too, have come to understand and appreciate better what we stood for in the controversy and are zealous to know the truth more, to proclaim it, and to live it. We have become more sensitive to the threat of false doctrines and danger of compromise of the truth, and are therefore more watchful at the gates of Zion. To avoid history repeating itself, we should strive to understand and to develop the truths of Scripture as a church, so that we may be established in them and not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We are very thankful that over the past few years many PRCA ministers, including seminary professors, came over to teach and reinforce the truths of sovereign particular grace over against common grace and the well-meant offer of the gospel, and the unconditionality of God's covenant of grace, as opposed to a conditional covenant, federal vision. We pray the Lord will grant us faithful office bearers who are able rightly to divide the word of God and to teach its truths to His people. We pray that members will be stirred to seek after and learn the precious truths of the Reformed heritage that is ours. May we as a church love, defend, maintain, and proclaim them for the glory of God. On hindsight now, we humbly confess that it was by God's providence and preservation that CERC was able to maintain the distinctive truth of the unbreakable bond of marriage in the controversy. Looking back, we can only marvel and thank the Lord that He has maintained the truth of His word in our midst. As we look back on all that has happened over the past 25 years, we wholeheartedly and humbly confess that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not, great is His faithfulness. Lamentations 3 verse 22 through 23. For He is the sovereign, almighty keeper of the vineyard of CERC. In His infinite wisdom, the Lord has ordered all things and brought all things to pass in the past 25 years, for our good and for His glory. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Psalm 126, verse 3. Looking forward, we must ask ourselves the question, what is CERC's reason for existence among the many churches in Singapore today? How can we maintain a distinctive witness in proclaiming the truth of God's sovereign grace and unconditional covenant? We pray that the Lord will be merciful to continue to keep us faithful to Him and His truth. We are thankful, too, that He has raised up a second generation of covenant seed among us who are zealous for the truth of His word. Lord willing, this second generation will take up their places in CERC and hold high the banner of the Reformed faith here in Singapore. As our Chief Shepherd has led us these past 25 years, we place our firm trust in Him that He will continue to lead us in the years ahead, for His own name's sake. From the day of our institution till today and always, we make this heartfelt confession. Our help is in the name of Jehovah, who made heaven and earth. Amen. End of reading. Welcome back, sister. You are smaller and more isolated than you were 25 years ago as part of the ERCS. You have aged a bit and matured much, but you are stronger than ever before, and your clear witness to the truth continues in your land. God be praised.